All right. Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. I'm very grateful for the privilege and opportunity to come and share with you this morning. This is a message that has been a real challenge to me. And of course, I don't know if any of you have taught before, but whenever you teach or preach a message, God has this really interesting way of taking that and saying, hey, how about you apply that to your life this week? And I'm going to put some specific situations in your life that you can take this and apply it to your life immediately. And of course, that is exactly what happened this week with this message. I want to start off actually this morning. Today is Father's Day. It's very special to be a father. I can say that from personal experience. And I want to say thank you to my father, who was a man. There are a few here of you who know my father, Don, and he is a man who was very good about serving people. He is one who sees practical needs and would go and he would say, what can I do to go help this person? And he would get out there and he would go do things. And so he, for me, and what I'm going to talk about today about serving one another, was an example to me about what service should look like, a real tangible example of that. So I want to start off with by just saying we're in a series talking about the one another's. Jim has been talking about some of the different things that Scripture talks about, the different one another's, the things that we are to do for one another, with one another, to one another. And so today we're looking at one that is serving one another. Service is all about choice, and it is all about mindset. So to start off with here, I'm going to kind of, before I zoom in on and talk about service in and of itself, what that should look like and how we ought to serve, I'm going to actually zoom back out a little bit and we're going to get a big picture view, hopefully, of just the overall body and what Christ did and how he was involved and set the example for us. And then we'll talk more specifically about what that means for us as believers. So to start off with, we're going to start off with a couple of scriptures, but I'm going to just start by saying that God had a plan from the beginning that included Christ as the ultimate servant. Talking back in Genesis, if we start at the beginning, man sinned, we were separated from God, and God had to create a way for us to be reconciled to himself because he is a holy God, and there was the issue of sin which separated us from God. So God had a remedy for that, and that remedy was to send his son to pay the price for our sins. And in that process, he sent Christ to be the ultimate servant. He came not to be served, but to serve. Christ's mission was to lay down his life to pay the price for our sins. Philippians 2, 5 through 11 talks about that. Let's look at it. If you have your Bibles, you can open your Bibles, or you can also look at the screen here. I've got the scriptures up as well. So this is talking about Jesus and his mission and his mindset. Pay close attention. Here we go. Philippians 2, 5 through 11 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Matthew 20, 25 through 28 is Jesus himself speaking, and here's what he says. He says, and he was speaking to actually to the disciples, but also kind of in response to the Pharisees who had been talking about him, or he'd been speaking to the Pharisees. He said, but Jesus called them to himself, that them being his disciples, and he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you, But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, there are a couple key things that I noted in that passage. One of them was, what was Christ's mindset behind his service? And then what did he do to demonstrate that mindset in a practical, tangible way? Notice that Jesus says he didn't come to be served. Now, think about it. He is the King of the universe, okay? This is the God of the universe taking a step down from being the King of the universe because of his plan, stepping down into the form of being a human. Now, that in and of itself is a step down. But it says that even beyond that, he humbled himself another level and he became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So he was willing to step down from being the eternal God into human form and then in human form, humbling himself even more and laying his life down for us to pay the price for our sin. That was the purpose of Jesus coming the first time, was for the salvation of mankind. But the reward that Jesus received for doing that was that God highly exalted him and gave him a name that is above every name, and that one day everyone is going to bow before that name. I find it really interesting. Notice how Jesus talks about what he thinks or he values as the greatest characteristic of someone who wants to be great in the kingdom of God. Did you notice that? Does he say, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you should read your Bible every day? If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you should go to church 3 times a week. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you should spend hours and hours and hours in prayer. If you want to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, you should spend hours in your car listening to worship CDs. No. He says, if you want to be greatest in the kingdom of God, you have to be the servant of all. Okay. Well, I don't know if that challenges you, but that really challenges me to say, okay, well, if Christ was that way and he calls us to be like him, then we need to have that mindset and we need to live that way. So Christ redeemed us with his blood. Getting back to what Christ did for us, Christ redeemed us with his blood, brought us into the kingdom of light, and has made us a part of his body, the church. Colossians 1:13 through 14 talks about that. It says, he, being Christ, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Christ is the head of the body, his church, which it goes on to talk about actually a little bit later in the same passage there. Colossians 1:15 through 18 says that Christ is the head of his body, the church, and we are the members. He has created us to do good works. Ephesians 2:10 talks about that. It says that he created us in Christ Jesus to do good works. I want to read... I skipped over here, but I want to read Colossians 1:15 through 18. So can we back up to Colossians 1:15 through 18? Sorry about that, Mel. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. Okay, so now getting back to that. So Christ redeemed us, he purchased us with his blood, but it doesn't stop there. It says, and that's why Ephesians 2:10 says that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Okay, it's not just enough that God has forgiven us and redeemed us with his blood. At this point in time, he expects us to do something else. And that something else is to live for him and to be an example to the world. So we are created for good works so that we can, one, show him our love and obedience by walking in his ways, so that we can serve our brothers and sisters in Christ with genuine love, and so that we can share the love of Christ and hope of eternal salvation with the world. It is important for all of us, as Jim has been talking about, as the members of Christ's body, to work together for us to accomplish anything and for the body to function properly. Can you imagine what would happen if the individual parts of the body just kind of went and did their own thing and paid no attention to the rest of the body? Can you imagine, okay, you're sleeping peacefully in bed and your alarm goes off on a Monday morning, and you smash your alarm clock because it's Monday morning and you don't want to get up if you're anything like me. So you hit that button and you go to step out of bed and your foot decides, yeah, I'm still tired. I'm going to take it easy and just rest. There's no need for you to stand on me. And you get out of bed and you fall flat on your face and you're like, what in the world is going on here? And then, you know, your eye is kind of twitching and doing something weird and kind of looking off. Well, what are you doing? Well, I'm kind of wanting to look over here, you know. And the other eye's like, well, we need to be focused on going out the door here to the bedroom. And, imagine what that would look like. Now, I know it's kind of just a silly illustration, but it's so true. I mean, if your heart stops beating, you're dead. If your lungs stop pumping oxygen, you're dead. I know, and you're all like, oh, wow. This is a really, really tough message on a Sunday morning. Thanks for this. You're welcome. But it just goes to show you that every part of the body is important and that no part of the body is useless or doesn't serve a purpose. And the important part is that we do work all together. Jim made a statement the other week that I thought was really good. He said the individual parts of the body are not independent, but interdependent, which means we're not supposed to do our own thing. We're supposed to work with each other to accomplish a purpose, and that purpose is to accomplish what the head is directing the body to do. That's what Christ is telling us to do. So with that in mind, we are called to be like Christ, who was the greatest servant of all. Service is one of the practical ways that we as Christians show our love to each other and help meet each other's needs. Through service to our brothers and sisters, we show our love for each other, we help meet practical needs, and we bless each other. Through service to those who are non-Christians, like I talked about earlier there, we share the love of Christ and we have the opportunity to share the gospel and further his kingdom. But service is a choice. We can choose to live for ourselves or we can choose to serve others. We can be givers or we can be takers. Galatians 5:13 and 14 talks about that specifically. And it says, for brethren, you have been called to liberty or to freedom, but do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So it is only through serving one another that we're really going to fulfill the commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. But it's a choice. So the question is, as we look at each other, all of us have needs, and there are lots of needs around us. So the question is, are we going to do something about that? So let's dig deeper into what being a true servant really looks like in a tangible way. What does a true servant look like? How do they think? And how do they act? Of course, we're using Jesus as the ultimate example of this, what his mindset was and how he acted. But there are three main things I wanted to highlight today in terms of what true service looks like, because I think sometimes there's a danger that we can either not serve or think that we're serving people well and we're actually not. So I'll go into it a little bit deeper and explain what I mean. So the first point that I have this morning is that true service means giving without expecting anything in return. Whoa! Give without expecting anything in return? Yes. Now, I'm going to share with you something this morning called the law of reciprocity. And you guys are going to be like, it's way too early on a Sunday for you to be throwing words around like reciprocity. Okay, I agree with you. But I also want to say that this is really important for you to understand because our natural tendency, I'll get to that. Let me just go through this first and then I'll explain what it means. The law of reciprocity is something that social psychologists say is when someone does something nice for you, that you have a deep-rooted physiological urge to do something nice in return. As a matter of fact, you may even reciprocate with a gesture that is far more generous than their original good deed. Okay, so basically what that means is, if you do something for someone else, there is this innate urge within each one of us to say, oh, you gave me something, I need to give you something back. If you invite somebody over for dinner and they come over and they eat with you, hey, that was great, that's wonderful, man, we need to have you guys over to our house sometime, right? Okay, or it's really interesting, this kind of psychological thing, but it's a tendency that all of us have, and it's a law because it's been true, and it's true, and it's been proven. So why does that even matter? Why am I even kind of bringing up the law of reciprocity? Well, you hear this all the time. If you hear somebody say, you owe me, or you owe me a favor, what they mean is they've done something for you, and so they're expecting to get something back. They're expecting to get something back in return. It's natural for us to expect something back in return. If we're the recipient of something, we feel obligated to give something in return. So I got to share with you this great story. I went to a seminar one time and I heard a teacher named Steve Riddell. He's just a great, amazing guy who is actually one of the main executives for Blinds.com. He lives down in Houston, Texas, and he was sharing a teaching with us, and he shared on the law of reciprocity, and he was talking about, because he was studying people, and he was studying, at this point in time, he was trying to be a business, I don't know what you would call it, like a business teacher. Like, he wanted to come and train people in business and how to grow as leaders and to grow their businesses. And he realized that he didn't know a whole lot in that area. So he started just doing a lot of things to try to learn about how people act and respond to certain things. And one of the things that he did, which I thought was really hilarious, was he went through the phone book and he picked 20 random people out of the phone book. He said, I'm going to test this out and see if this is actually true. Like, he's like, I think it is, but I'm going to test it out. So he goes and he handwrote 20 Christmas cards to these people. And he said, hey, and he had to make up a story because he had no idea who these people were. So he would write their name, say, dear so-and-so, so great to see you last week. I really enjoyed our conversation. Just wanted to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas, and he'd sign his name and then he sent it off. Well, about 3 or 4 weeks later, out of the 20 Christmas cards that he sent, he had 18 Christmas cards back in return of people who had sent him Christmas cards back for the ones that he had sent out, even though they had no idea who in the world he was. And he's like, I feel sorry for these poor people because they were probably scratching their head going, who is this? I don't remember this guy, but he sent us a Christmas card, so he must know us, so we better send one back. So 18 out of 20 people sent Christmas cards back to Steve Riddell. I just thought it was such a funny illustration of that urge to respond back to someone giving to us. So again, why is that important? Well, because our natural tendency is to be self-focused. Our natural tendency is to expect to get something in return when we give things away. But what God calls us to is contrary to that, which is why it can sometimes be so difficult to shift from having our eyes and our focus on ourselves to actually focusing on other people and their needs and seeking to serve them. So I just wanted to highlight that so you recognize that's a challenge for us that we need to overcome if we're really going to serve people well. It can't just all be about us. It has to also be about other people. I think of the scripture, Matthew 10:8, where Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. Having that idea of mentality, freely you've received, freely give away. So that's point number one. True service means giving without expecting anything in return. Point number two is that true service requires sacrifice, but it pays great dividends. Service will cost you something. I think it's important that you recognize that and you know that. It costs you something to serve people. You pay a price. And that price oftentimes is giving up your time. It's giving up your money sometimes, because sometimes helping people in a tangible way, serving them, is giving them money, resources to work with. And sometimes it also means sacrificing your own desires, not doing the things that you want to do so that you have time to be able to give or do things for other people. So it requires sacrifice. But the reward for serving others is joy, is love, is fulfillment, and is blessing. So when you think about it, it's like, okay, yeah, there's a price to be paid if I want to serve someone, but the reward is so worth it. The person who receives your service is blessed by what you do for them, and you're blessed because you have the opportunity to show your love for them by serving them in a practical way. So in other words, both people are blessed in the process of serving. Both the server and the one who is served are blessed if you're willing to do that. So the question is, are you willing to pay the price to serve? Because there is a price to pay. Point number three this morning is true service requires the right mindset. Now, we go back to the scripture. You remember I read the scripture this morning out of Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5 talks about it. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay, so it's not just enough that we do the action of serving. We have to have the mind of Christ in the way that he served to be a good servant. I have a couple of scriptures that also talk about that and highlight that this morning. We'll start off with Matthew 23:10, and then we'll move to, I skipped a scripture at the end of my last point there. It was John 15:9-13, which I'll go ahead and just read. It was talking about, again, the opportunity to receive joy through service, because Jesus said, as the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. Okay, so getting back to the point of having the right mindset. The first aspect of having the right mindset of service is you must have humility. It is impossible to be a servant if you don't have humility. Matthew 11 through 12 up on the screen, says, but he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. The mindset of humility. Now, I want to highlight what humility is, because I think sometimes people have a misperception of what humility actually looks like. Humility is not thinking low of yourself. Humility is not thinking, oh, I'm nobody. You know, I could never do anything. I'm nothing special. I'm just a low person, you know. That's not humility. Humility is not thinking low of yourself. Humility is not thinking of yourself. That's what true humility is. And that's exactly what Christ modeled in Philippians 2 and what we read about in Matthew there. His mindset was, he didn't think about him. He endured the cross. He did it for us because he had the mindset of, I have to do this to pay the price for their sin, or there will be no redemption or eternal life for their sins. So Jesus didn't think of himself. He thought of us when he went to the cross. Philippians 2, 1 through 4. Okay, so this is more about the mindset that we're to have. Philippians 2, 1 through 4 says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So again there, lowliness of mind, esteeming others as better than ourselves. Looking for opportunities to serve. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. I think it's important to highlight there too. It doesn't say don't look to your own interests at all. But it says don't just focus on your interests, but also the interests of others. So each one of us have needs that we have to attend to and take care of and things, and that is our responsibility. But it's also our responsibility to look out for the interests of other people if we truly want to be a servant. We are not to be all about ourselves, our needs, our wants, our desires, but we're to serve as Christ served. There was a great quote I heard recently that was in regard to leadership and being a servant leader, but I thought was just absolutely phenomenal. The quote was, "If servanthood is beneath you, then leadership is beyond you." I thought that was really impactful for me, seeking to be a leader. If servanthood is beneath you, then leadership is beyond you. What else does it require in having the right mindset? Well, another thing that's important in having the right mindset is having an outward focus. It is so easy for us to get wrapped up in our own lives, and sometimes we don't even do it intentionally. None of us here are probably saying, oh man, I'm just going to focus on my own needs and desires and wants today. But it's like just the busyness of life and everything going on, and you just realize, wow, my focus is all on me just because of everything going on. And so it's just something to just want to, I need somebody periodically to just tell me that and say, hey, are you focused on you or are you focused on other people? Like, I just need that reminder periodically myself. So I just want to remind all of us this morning, it takes an outward focus. We have to turn from looking at ourselves and start looking at other people. It's not all about me, 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 me. We are Christ's disciples. It's no longer about us. It's really all about him. Having a heart of love and serving others marks us as Christ's disciples and sets us apart from the world. We as Christians should be the most loving people walking the planet. Ideally, that's what we should look like. We should be the most loving, serving, caring people walking the planet, bar none. That's what the ultimate goal of what we're shooting for should look like. And service really should flow out of a heart of love and gratitude to God for all that he's done. Really, first and foremost, us serving him as our Lord and Savior and saying, thank you for all that you've done for us. I want to live the rest of my life for you. But then also taking that and saying, I want to love the people around me as well. And I also want to just point out too, in what Jesus talked about, when we love each other, you are saying to the Lord, I love you, Lord, because each one of you is a part of his body. And when you love the body, you love the head. You love Christ. And so it's really important to know that one of the ways we express love to God is not only by expressing our love to him. Our direct reflection of our love for him is also how we treat everyone around us. So that's a challenge. Ouch. That's not always easy. In fact, most of the time it's hard. But it's what we need to strive for. We need to strive to serve and to show love to him directly and serve him and show our love to him by serving each other. Because he has redeemed us and made us a part of his body and he loves us as his body. The third thing that we need to do is we need to be attentive. True service requires a willingness to serve others as they would want to be served. To serve in this way requires thinking about how to best serve someone and can also mean asking questions. So my son Asher is 19 months. You probably see him running around here. He is an active, adventurous little guy. He loves to be a helper. Now, Asher's definition of helping us is maybe a little bit different than what our definition would be of helping us. See, Asher's idea of helping us, and he's actually really good about being obedient. Like the other night, Becca said, hey, Asher, we need to put away your toys. And so he was like, okay. And he picked up all the toys and put them in his basket. He picked up one of the bowls and went to the kitchen, and he put it back in the cupboard where it went. And she didn't even have to tell him. She was like, wow, that's really impressive. And then he went and dumped out a folded basket of laundry, and he went and proceeded to empty the half-dirty load of that was in the dishwasher, start pulling out all the dirty stuff out of the dishwasher. So he's working on it. He's a work in progress. But I just wanted to share that because it was so funny the other night when she was sharing that with me. I have a friend, Mike Schrock, who is a pastor who also was a missionary down in Belize for a while, and he had a great story that I just thought so well illustrated this point about serving others not as, here's the challenge, because it says, love your neighbor as yourself, okay? So, so I like this, so that means if I serve this person, I should serve them the way that I would like to be served. Well, the problem is not everybody wants or likes or needs to be served the way that you may think that they need to be served. So here's my story, an example on that. So there was a teenage girl down there when they were in Belize who wanted to bless Mike and his wife, Rhonda. They were there at the house, and she wanted to do something special for them. She loved them and wanted to do something. So she said, is it okay if I come over and make you guys some cookies? Like, I would love to make you guys some cookies just to bless you guys. And so they said, sure, that would be fine. So she came over, and she whipped up the cookies and put them in, and they baked and brought them all out. And so Mike was away down to school. They were at a missionary school, and he was teaching. And so he came back later, and he was all excited to get some hot, warm cookies. So he comes in to eat the cookies, and he goes over to him, and he goes, oh, they're oatmeal raisin. He's like, I hate raisins. He's like, what was the point of making cookies if you're going to put raisins in them? You just destroyed the cookie. And so he was like, well, I'm not going to be able to eat these. I don't want these. And so he was like, well, that doesn't do us any good. And on top of that, this young lady who is trying to be thoughtful, she was trying to serve. You know, she came and she got the kitchen, the process of making everything, she got all these different things dirty and left all the dishes and didn't wash any of the dishes. So at the end of all of this, they have cookies that they don't want to eat, and they have a full load of dishes now here sitting on the counter that have to be washed. So the question was, did she really serve them well? Mike said, no, she didn't really serve me well. And it's like, it could have been something as simple as asking me what kind of cookies I liked. And then, you know, maybe following through and washing the dishes for me would have been great. So we didn't have to wash them. So my wife didn't have to wash the dishes. So I just wanted to share that illustration as the idea of we need to make sure that we serve other people as they would want to be served, which means we really need to take into consideration, this is where the attentiveness comes in, we need to take into consideration what other people's needs and desires are and seek to meet them in a way that would actually bless them and would serve them well. So just be attuned, be attentive to what people may need, and then you may just need to ask some questions to find out how you can best serve somebody, or say, hey, I see this need. Is there a way that I can help with that, or can I do, you know, just offer your help there in that. Okay, so we're getting to the end here, and I want to wrap it up because I need to be punctual. Jim, thank you for giving me a little leeway, but I will be brief here in closing it up. So those are just some ideas and some thoughts about the mindset of a servant. But now I really want to just share, just in kind of closing, it doesn't do any good if we know all the right things about being a servant if we don't actually go out and do it. If we don't apply those truths to our lives this week. But the good news is anyone can serve. This is not a spiritual gift, something you're blessed with. This is everyone, even a child. You know, Scripture says, if you give a child a cup of water in my name, you'll by no means lose your reward. That's a way of serving. Anyone can serve. So that is the good news. And I want to encourage you. I see a lot of service within this group of people. There are a lot of people here who are serving and serving well and serving tirelessly. I want to encourage you this morning because the Scripture says, don't grow weary in well-doing because in the proper time you reap a harvest if you don't give up. Now I know we're all busy and it's easy to get tired and worn out. And so I just want to say thank you for serving in all the ways that you serve the body. Continue that. The Lord is pleased. The Lord sees the love that you have for him and the love that you have for the body. So to those people, I just want to encourage you this morning. Keep it up. Keep serving. Keep giving. Allow the Lord to use you and bless you. And then there may be some in this room who maybe have gotten, you know, maybe unintentionally, have gotten more focused on themselves than on other people recently. And I want to challenge you this morning to change your thinking and to start serving the people around you. So the first thing that we can do, and we should all do this, and I did this week as I was preparing this message because I need this message as much as anybody else does. The first thing was examine your heart. Now, I just want to ask a few questions this morning. I just want to encourage you to answer these honestly in your heart. You don't have to say it out loud, but just answer these things in your heart. Do you have a heart of humility? Are you willing to serve people around you? Do you care about other people's needs, and are you willing to do something about them? Are you willing to pay the price to serve well? Secondly, I just want to ask you as well to purpose in your heart to be attentive to the needs of people around you. Like I said, most of the time it's so easy for us to get wrapped up in our own world and just be oblivious to everything else going on around us. So I just want to ask you and challenge you, as I'm seeking to do this week, open your eyes to the needs of the people around you. Think about how you can serve them and bless them. That could be your spouse, family, friends, neighbors. Remember that you do not have to meet all the needs around you. Decide what you can realistically meet. Also pray that God directs you in serving those who need it most. My final challenge is going to be this, to write down and think about three people this week that you could serve, just in one way, that you could serve them this week. And then make it happen. James 2:15-17 says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things that are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Put it into action. Make it a point to serve this week and see how God uses you. You will be blessed, and the people you touch will be blessed and feel the love of Jesus flowing through you. When we freely serve one another and love each other without thought of getting anything in return, all of us are blessed. Let's be like Christ